الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين In the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in, the time where Hajjaj bin Yusuf was the oppressive ruler, and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in were experiencing zulm, oppression and tyranny at his hands. We can try to imagine the golden era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Quran Sharif was being revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this entire world from what it was in the pre-Islamic era had completely changed. There was noor and barakat. The Nabi of Allah in the presence of the Sahaba, as though they were in the midst of Jannat. Whatever was the evil ways of the kuffar in the pre-Islamic era had come to an end. There was law and order, there was justice that prevailed. And now when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam leaves the world, and now the Sahaba Ridwan Allah alayhim ajma'in, they are seeing slowly as time is passing, the changes are taking place. So it was indeed very difficult, extremely difficult for the Sahaba to witness such oppression and tyranny at the hands of the rulers, and not being able to overcome the situation. They didn't possess that might and that power that they could stand up and fight against this oppressive ruler, Hajjaj bin Yusuf. So Zubair ibn Adi, rahimahullah, says that we came to Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the khadim-i khas, the special attendant and khadim of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who served the master for 10 years. So we came to him and we complained about the tyranny, the difficulty, the hardship that we were experiencing at the hands of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. We told him, what is the way out? So Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu consoles these people and he tells them, لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ يَوْمٌ إِلَّا الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌّ مِّنْهُ. That the Nabi of Allah mentioned in his Mubarak teachings, Mubarak ahadith, informed the Ummah that every day that passes by, more and more difficulties, challenges will overcome the Ummah. And the time that will come before Qiyamah will be the most challenging of times. So as time is passing, then the condition of this ummah, whatever it is, as time will pass, will get worse. فَاصْبِرُوا حَتَّى تَلْقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Make sabr until you meet Allah. In other words, when you don't have the ability to fight against the forces of kufr, then the sensible thing is to turn to Allah, make sabr, and try to fulfill the commandments and orders of Allah in your life. That the ideal would be that you overpower the enemy, but you don't have that power, you don't have that clout, you don't have that might. So the second option is that now make sabr. Turn to Allah, improve your lives. There is hope that Allah's help will come. So this is what Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu had mentioned. So what we learn from this hadith is that whatever goodness we see in this ummah, the time that is passing, this goodness will go, and greater problems will be seen, challenges will come about. What was in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ was not seen in the time that followed. What was seen in the time of Sahaba was not seen in the time of Tabi'in. So the goodness that we have, we rather latch on to it and make the best of it. And we see a great awliya that were among us, now they're no longer in our midst. So much of nur and fuyuz and barakat we were receiving at the hands of great awliya. Now we find that that buzuk is gone, that goodness also went with him. So this is the, what is witness and will continuously be witnessed throughout the time before Qiyamah, continuously be seen. In the time of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, prior to her leaving this world, she used to sing these couplets very often. And these were couplets that actually poetry of Labid ibn Rabi'a, couplets that he had composed. Labid, he was a poet, he had seen the pre-Islamic days, and after the advent of Islam, he embraced Islam, he entered into the fold of Islam. He became a Sahabi. So again, he saw both sides of the coin. He saw the days of ignorance and jahiliyat, and he saw the nur of Islam. He saw both. And now the poetry that he's singing in his time before he leaves the world, after the era of Rasulullah ﷺ passed, Nabi alayhi salam left this world, and Labid now lived on, just before he leaves this world, he would sing this here often. He would say that indeed good were those people, يُعَاشُ فِي أَكْنَافِهِمْ, that they used to remain within their protection, within their homes, being protected from the evil of this world. And now those people have left, they have gone. وَبَقِيتُ فِي خَلْفٍ كَجَلْدِ الْأَجْرَبِ, and now I am here to see the next era, where the big good people have left. And I am all alone, like the camel that has mange, like scabies on it, among all the other camels. See, that type of camel that got the sickness, people that take it and they isolate it, they move it one side. So he says that the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, the time of Sahaba, where the good people were around, That was the golden era, the good time. Now I find myself among all the people, as though I'm the odd one out. Like that camel that has been isolated from all the other camels. So that Aisha radiallahu anha says, Lo shahida labid zamanana. If only Labid had seen our zamana, he would have understood that his zamana was much better. And then the narrator of the hadith, each narrator is saying, Urwa bin Zubair, Hazrat Urwa says, that if only Hazrat Aisha had seen our zamana, she would understand that her zamana was better. Then Hisham, who's the next person in the chain, he says, if only Urwa had to see, or if my father had to see this era, he would have realized that that era was better. And then Imam Zuhri comes and he says, if only Hisham had to see this period, he would have realized that that was a better period. And that whole chain of that hadith goes, that each narrator is complaining, he says, that the goodness has passed to the people of the past. So that zamana passed and the goodness also left. So the era of the Sahaba Ridwanullah alim ajma'in was an era of goodness. It was an era where each person was cooperating with the next, in trying to reach Allah Ta'ala, acquiring the love of Allah, how we can assist each other, how we can cooperate, how we can be there for each other. Not in the dunya, but for the akhirat. Not only in the dunya, but how we each can assist and cooperate, and we can make our akhirat also, and we can assist the next person to make his akhirat. As mentioned, the ulama say that we are very, very fortunate that these days that we are passing through are Mubarak days. This month is the month of after Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, then we go into Zulhijjah, and then Muharram. These are the three Ashhurul Hurum, the three sacred months in the Islamic calendar. We all know there are four sacred months. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna iddat ash-shuhuri inda Allah itna ashara shahra. That from the 12 Islamic months, Allah Rabbul Izzat has chosen 4 months to be the sacred months. Inna iddat ash-shuhuri inda Allah itna ashara shahra. Fi kitabillah yawma khalaq as-samawati wal arda minha arba'atun hurum. From the time when Allah created the skies and the earth, Allah Ta'ala had decreed that there will be 12 months in the Islamic year, and from among these 12 months will be the 4 sacred months of Islam. These are special months. The ulama explained that any good deed carried out in these 4 sacred months, the person earns immense reward, more than the reward he would earn for doing that good deed at any other time in the year. And if he does any evil deed, any guna he has to do in these 4 months, then the sin also is intensified. The sins also are increased. So this Mubarak month of Zulqa'dah, this is among the Ashhurul Hurum. And this month also falls under the Ashhurul Hajj also, among the months of Hajj. The months of Hajj is Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, and 10 days of Zulhijjah. So you can imagine what a Mubarak month this is, that it has two virtues in it. It's among the Ashhurul Hajj also, and it's among the Ashhurul Hurum also. So now a person needs to understand that when we are passing through Mubarak moments, how we can score, how we can acquire goodness, how we can acquire the mercy of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So easy way is a person commences with tawbah, makes tawbah for his past. He introspects and looks within his heart, within his life, whatever mistakes he has, whatever gunas he has. Maybe it might not be clear, but is in the doubtful zone. Something that you're not sure. So that also a person should make tawbah for. And then a person should try to, whatever loose ends he has, whether it is in his life, whether it is in his business, whether it is anything that is of a doubtful nature, and immediately sorts it out. It doesn't come to his defense. It doesn't try to justify. And we find this was the way of the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. It was only scoring. It was only progressing. Every moment was the moment of progress. They only were looking for the investments of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala bless us also with this. One Sahabi, his name was Hazrat Amr ibn Jamuh radiallahu anhu. So he was lame. Now the battle of Badr had passed. And the battle of Badr came about all of a sudden. Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in were not informed prior to Badr that this battle is going to ensue, is going to take place. So there were many Sahaba who were not present at Badr. There were 313 Sahaba present when the Nabi of Allah, and Allah blessed him with victory, the first battle of Islam. And the maqam of the Ashab of Badr among the other Sahaba stands out. These Sahaba of Badr have the highest position and maqam. Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Nabi alayhi salam and he says, O Nabi of Allah, that what is the position of those Sahaba who took part at Badr compared to the others? Nabi alayhi salam says that these Sahaba are the greatest. So the Jibreel says, and those angels who took part at Badr also, by Allah, their maqam is the greatest compared to all the other angels. So there were many Sahaba who had that grief, that sadness, that regret within their hearts, that they didn't take part at Badr. They had that sadness. Can you imagine these people? We're talking of Sahaba here. And the Sahaba within their hearts, they were very, very sad that we didn't have that opportunity. That opportunity went. And it wasn't out of choice that they lost the opportunity. It wasn't out of choice. It happened. So there were many, many Sahaba that they made a pledge with Allah. They made a covenant with Allah that, oh Allah, the next battle will give life. Will give life. So when the battle of Uhud took place, then many Sahaba who made that pledge with Allah, that covenant, and really they were true to their word. And there on the battlefield of Uhud, they gave their lives, they became martyrs. Allah Rabbul Izzat sends Quran down. Allah is saying, من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر. That from among the believers there were those who made that covenant and promise with Allah and they fulfilled it. And there are others who made that promise but they didn't drink from the cup of martyrdom as yet, but they're still waiting. Because in other words, they tried their best to give their life, they fought valiantly, zealously, they gave everything. But it's not written for them to taste from the cup of martyrdom. So Allah is bearing testimony, but they were still true people. وَمِنْهُمْ مَيَّنْ They're still waiting, you know. As though those Sahaba walking on the face of this earth, and with that cry and desire within that heart of giving the ultimate sacrifice before Allah, that is everything, their lives. Allah is bearing testimony. So just before Uhud could take place, now all the Sahaba getting prepared to leave. So Amr ibn Jabu was lame, because Sahabi couldn't go. So, but he had the desire to go out. He had the desire. Many people told him, Sahaba told him, hey, you're excused. You can't even walk properly. You're excused. So you don't have to worry about coming out. I think the better thing, you remain at home. But the Sahabi had that longing, that yearning, that desire. He had it within his heart. So, he came to the Nabi of Allah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that, no, you're excused. You don't have to come. So he goes home. Then his wife tells him that, no. You see, really, you don't want to go out. You're just very happy people are telling you that, no, you excuse. You're waiting for them to tell that. But you really don't have that desire. Had you had that desire, you won't pay attention to these people. That truth within you would show it, reveal itself. In other words, that wife of the Sahabi, she loved her husband immensely, but she desired to be the widow of a Sahabi who gave life in the path of Allah. That's what that desire was with the heart, that she could be the widow of a martyr in the path of Allah. So in order to prompt her husband, in order to encourage him, she told him, see, if you are true to Allah, you won't be taking these people's words, you know. You will make sure you'll show Allah. So the Sahabi comes here, oh Nabi of Allah, really, I have that desire to go out in the path of Allah. Please allow me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the Sahabi, how true he was. He said, okay, I give you permission. So the Sahabi, before he left, he made dua, he raised his hands and he made dua. Allahumma la taruddani ila ahli. Wallah, I'm leaving now. Don't let me return to my family. What truth must have been in the heart of the Sahabi? He's making the dua and he's going. Anyway, at the time when the battle took place, the Sahabi, his four sons came out. And then it is mentioned also that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, when they told the Sahabi, they told him, no excuse. So he told the people that, say, my four sons are coming out. I don't want them to take the lead. They all be blessed with martyrdom and their father die at home. You know, how my sons, Allah will bless them also. Allah must bless me also. I also have that desire. So now he comes out. He has one son because he's lame. One son fighting at his side. Until that the Sahabi, he passes away on the battlefield of Uhud. So the wife came thereafter. Take the body of her son and her husband, put it on the conveyance and bring it back to Medina Munawwara. So later on, the hukam came from Allah, all bodies will be returned back to Uhud and be buried there. But at that point, the people were now making arrangements for the bodies to be brought to Medina Munawwara. So his wife brings the conveyance or whatever, family bring the conveyance. They put the bodies, this camel would not even stand up. This camel not waking up, not moving. After a lot of beating, began to beat the animal, it stood up. But this animal would not turn towards Medina Munawwara. It made it move towards Uhud. Medina Munawwara is not moving. So they came to the Nabi of Allah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a message, ask his wife before he left, did he say anything? So the wife said, yes, this is the dua he made. Allahumma la taruddani ila, Allah, don't return me to my family. So here we find that each one is cooperating in goodness. The wife also, she also wants her akhirat. She wants the akhirat of her husband. The children, everybody, this was the day of the Sahaba. Hazrat Jabir ibn Atiq radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, he says, Abdullah bin Sabit radiallahu anhu had fallen ill. So the Nabi of Allah went to make iyadat, to visit the sick. So I went with the Nabi of Allah accompanying him. So we reached the home, Hazrat Abdullah bin Sabit, we reached the home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from the household, from the family, that where is Abdullah bin Sabit? He said, no, he's in this room. Nabi of Allah goes in that room. The Sahabi was unconscious. He was in the throes of death, he was about to pass away. Jabir ibn Atiq says, I was present, the other few Sahaba. So perhaps from behind the veil, the wife and the daughter, they began to express their grief. They say, oh Nabi of Allah, he had his armor, he had his weaponry, he had his horse, he had his sword, he had everything prepared to go out in the path of Allah. And with grief and sadness they say, but here he's passing away in the home. He wanted to go out. What was his niyat? His niyat was to pass away in the path of Allah. He's passing away at home. In other words, he was so sad about it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him whatever he desires according to his niyat. He made that niyat to pass away in the path of Allah. Allah will honor him with that. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَا تَعُدُّونَ الشَّهَادَ مَا تَعُدُّونَ الشَّهِيدِ. Who do you people regard to be a shaheed? What do you regard shahadat and martyrdom to be? They say, oh Nabi of Allah, man mata fi sabila, a person who passed away in the path of Allah, we regard this person to be a shaheed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, idhan shuhada'u ummati laqaleel, then the shuhada'u of my ummah will be very few. If it's only those people who will pass away on the battlefield, then the shuhada'u of my ummah will be very, very few. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will grant the honor and the high maqam of shahadat to many, many people. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-mat'unu shaheedun. A person who passes away in a plague, and he makes sabr, he's happy with the decree of Allah, and he passed away in a plague, Allah blessed him with shahadat, with martyrdom. Wal-mabtunu shaheedun. A person who has some stomach ailment, he passes away, Allah will honor him also. A person who has any internal sickness, and he passes away, Allah will honor him also with shahadat. A woman who, she's in labor, and in that condition, while delivering the child, she passes away, Allah Ta'ala will grant her also shahadat. A woman who's pregnant and in that condition and that state, she passes away, Allah will grant. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam began to enumerate and count so many people. It's not only the person who passed away on the battlefield. But what we learn from this incident, you see the first in Amr ibn Jamu, his wife was encouraging towards deen. She was prompting him towards ta'at, the obedience of Allah. This sahabi also, Abdullah bin Sabit, yeah, his wife, his daughter. This is that longing, that yearning, that desire. Allahu Akbar, everybody. We must ask ourselves, now did we create that atmosphere within our homes? That this is the condition of our wives and our kids, our children. That yearning, that longing for akhirat is there. The motivation and drive towards the love of Allah is motivating them every moment only to be in ta'at. We have to ask ourselves, do we have this or we don't have it? It is mentioned, when the verse came down, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. That the one who gives Allah a good loan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return will multiply the reward of that loan manifold. And Allah restricts abundance and wealth for whomsoever He wishes. And Allah gives expansion and abundance whoever He wishes. So when this verse came down, that Allah is saying, the one who gives a loan to Allah, Allah Ta'ala will bless him with manifold reward for that loan He gives. Hazrat Abu Dahda radiallahu anh comes to the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to present a loan before Allah. Is it true? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes. Allah does not need a loan from you, but Allah wants to give you the reward in the hereafter for that sacrifice, for whatever contribution deen. So the sahabi, look at the sahabi now. The sahabi says, oh Nabi Allah, I got two huge orchards full of date palms, date trees. One is in Safila, one is in Alia. The upper portion of Medina Munawwara is the lower portion. O Nabi of Allah, I want to give both these orchards for the sake of Allah as waqf for the Muslim, for the Muslims. And the Muslims can benefit from this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then Allah ta'ala, إِذَنْ يَجْزِيكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ. If you're giving like this, Allah will honor you with Jannat also. As Abu Dahda. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guides him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that, no, see, from the two orchards, you keep one, and the other one you give Allah. You should also keep also something for yourself, your wife, your children. You should be keeping something. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, from the both orchards, the best orchard I give Allah. And this orchard has 600 date trees. And the finest of fruit this thing produces. O Nabi of Allah, I make you a witness, I bear testimony to Allah, that this is given as waqf for the Muslims, for the sake of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so pleased and so happy with the sahabi, so happy. And this sahabi now immediately he rushes. He goes to this orchard, his wife, his children are all in that orchard. They're eating the fruit of that orchard, they're under the trees, enjoying the shade. The children are playing around. And then he shouts out to his wife as he's coming, Ya Umm al-Dahda, that oh Umm al-Dahda, referring to his wife, quickly come out of this orchard, come out of this orchard. He sings couplets, Hadaki Rabbi Subul al-Rashadi, ila sabili al-Jannati was-Sadadi. May Allah Ta'ala bless you with guidance, the guidance that will take you to Jannat, to always make the right decision. May Allah Ta'ala guide you how He guided me. That this is the qurbani I made for the sake of Allah. May you also be thinking on the same lines. You might also have the desire that Alhamdulillah, what my husband had done is a good thing. Hadaki Rabbi Subul al-Rashadi ila sabili al-Jannati was-Sadadi wabini min al-Haiti bil-Widadi wabini min al-Haiti bil-Widadi. And he said, quickly come out of this orchard now. Come out happily. Don't come out grudgingly or being upset why I did this. وَبِينِ مِنَ الْحَيْتِ بِالْوِدَادِ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَقَدْ مَضَى قَرْدًا إِلَى التَّنَادِ. For this is the loan that I have made over to Allah. The reward will continue till the day of Qiyamah. And then he says, أَقْرَضْتُهُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ اِعْتِمَادِ بِالتَّوْءِ لَا مَنِّن وَلَا إِرْتِدَادِ. I made over this loan to Allah to be banked in the banks of the hereafter. Happily, with a happy heart, I gave this to Allah. I'm not going to boast among people, and I'm not going to be taking it back also. You know, I'm not going to go around making an advertisement, publicity, and showing off with this here. I only did it for Allah. And then he says, إِلَّا رَجَاءَ الضِّعْفِ فِي الْمَعَادِ فَارْتَحِلِي بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. He says that the only hope and desire I have, Allah will give me honor in the hereafter. Allah will give me manifold reward in the hereafter. Quickly come out of this orchard, O my beloved wife, with yourself and the children. فَالْبِرُّ لَا شَكَّ خَيْرُ زَادِي الَّذِي قَدَّمَهُ الْمَرُّ إِلَى الْمَعَادِ. The best provisions a man can have is the provisions he sends to the hereafter. It is mentioned that his wife, when she heard this here, she became so happy. Look at Sahaba. And then she gives him dua. The first he says, Rabbi Habayuk, that indeed you have struck the best deal, you know. Barakallahu laka fi mashtareet. What you purchase your jannat in exchange of this, may Allah give you extreme barakat for this. And then she quickly takes the children, whatever khajur they have in their pockets, they take it out. What khajur was in the mouth of the children, she took it out from their mouths also. And then they're leaving this orchard. And then she gives dua to her husband. Allahu Akbar. And then she tells the husband that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you glad tidings. Basharaka Allahu bi khairin wa rahma. May Allah ta'ala give you basharat in the akhirat of khair and baraka and rahma. Misluka adda ma ladayhi wa nasa. A man of your caliber. He's a man who can do a good deed like this. In other words, you got a good heart. Allah honored you with this good deed, you know. قَدْ مَتَّعَ اللَّهُ عِيَالِي وَمَنَحْ بِالْعَجْوَةِ السَّوْدَاءِ وَالزَّهْوِ الْبَلَىٰ. Allah gave us enough. If we have to give this one orchard, what's in there? وَالْعَبْدُ يَسْعَى وَلَهُ مَا قَدْ كَدَحْ طُولَ اللَّيَالِ وَعَلَيِّ مَجْتَرَحْ. He says indeed, the goodness that a man will get in the akhirah is what good deeds will do in this world. throughout his life, whatever effort he makes, he'll see it in the hereafter. And the evil deeds he sees, he'll have to pay for it as well. You know, this is what the couple, the husband sings. This is how the wife now, she responds to this. When this news comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so happy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that, كَمْ مِنْ عِذْقٍ رَدَاحٍ وَدَارٍ فَيَاحٍ لِأَبِي الدَّحْتَى. How many palaces and beautiful trees Allah has prepared, orchards Allah has prepared for Abu Dahda. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. So each person needs to think that, now how can I follow the Sahaba? This is what, these are the good deeds Allah Ta'ala honored them with. The investments of the year after, every day they were striking. How can I also do something? We also need a share. It means Abu Dahda radiallahu anhu, he says, once I had seen that there was one person, and there was a small argument that broke out between that person and a yatim child. That the yatim child, it was his date palm, and another, that person wanted the date. So it's a problem. So the case went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had looked at this case, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and investigated, and he found that no, this tree was actually not the tree of that yatim child, but the tree of that person who was claiming that tree. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that child, the yatim child, the small child, father passed away, the child doesn't have anything. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to that yatim child that this wealth is the wealth of this person. I cannot decide in your favor, it's not yours. So yatim child began crying. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that, felt pity. The Nabi of Allah had a heart, Allahu Akbar, heart of gold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that sahabi, that have raham on this child, never mind. Give it to this child in exchange of a tree in Jannat. If you give this child a tree, Allah will give you a tree in Jannat. So the sahabi says, but I only got this tree. I need, how you know a person got one business? This said one tree was like his business. I said, yeah. He said, I feel hard to give this. Abu Dahda passed by, and he saw what was happening. And then he mentioned, he says, O Nabi of Allah, if I have to give this person something for that tree, and give this tree to, will Allah also bless me? Nabi said, yes. He goes to the sahabi, he says, I give you two trees for this one tree. He says, okay, it's a deal. He goes, he says, O Nabi of Allah, I make over these two trees for this yatim child. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at that occasion, كَمْ مِنْ عِذْقٍ رَدَاحٍ وَدَارٍ فَيَّاحٍ لِأَبِي الدَّحْدَى. That how many palaces Allah has prepared, and how many date orchards Allah has prepared for Abu Dahda in Jannat. Sahaba say the time when Abu Dahda passed away, the Nabi of Allah buries him with his own hands. Allahu Akbar. And then Nabi Sallam comes out of the grave. The Sahaba bring on conveyance. Nabi Sallam goes on that conveyance. The Nabi of Allah is affected. And there on the word, the Sahaba say, the Nabi Sallam is making dua and he's saying, كَمْ مِنْ إِذْقٍ رَدَاحٍ وَدَارٍ فَيَاحٍ لِأَبِي الدَّحْدَى. How much of palaces Allah has prepared, and how much of orchards and orchards Allah has prepared for this sahabi of mine. The Nabi of Allah buried him and he is leaving, and this is on the lips of the Nabi of Allah. So brothers, we are in a time where we find fitna all around. We need to align ourselves with the sahaba. We need to love the sahaba. We need to follow the sahaba. We need to remove all those areas of doubt and sin, the grey areas in our life, so that when we pass away, Allah will join us with the sahaba. Allah give me all tawfiq. Wa akhidawan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.